The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the dangers which are cited to justify it.
Great difficulties are things that show a person what and who they really are. That's a 2,000-year-old quote from the Stoic philosopher Epictetus. Reports I'll cover today include a new science study that makes clear aluminum is the core cause of Alzheimer's disease. Nothing we didn't know or suspect already, but now we have a science report to back it up. And let's remember this. Every single one of us is inhaling aluminum with every single breath we take. I'll also cover this story. How many people are aware of the military training facility in the U.S. that has been exporting terrorists and terrorism to nations around the globe for decades? Much more to come after a few announcements. This is Dane Wigginton with the weekly edition of Global Alert News for GeoengineeringWatch.org radio. This is for June 17th, 2017. This is a commercial-free news hour. As always, this show is paid for by GeoengineeringWatch.org. It's broadcast throughout Northern California on KQMS Radio, 1670 AM, 104.9 FM, and 105.7 FM. Global Alert News is also aired on the East Coast by the PRN Radio Network. My thanks to Gary Null for all he has done for humanity and continues to do. The East Coast PRN show is broadcast on Saturdays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Recording of the show can be found at geoengineeringwatch.org under the Recent Radio and Top Stories sections, also on the KQMS archives. As always, if you live in Shasta County near Orchard Nutrition in Redding, there are free materials still there. We're trying to keep them supplied as much as we can. Commercial DVDs that expose great detail on the climate engineering insanity on which all of our futures most depend. So many challenges we face, but we must face the priority issues first. When governments around the globe intentionally intervene with Earth's climate and life support systems on a scale that can scarcely be imagined, truly a climate engineering Manhattan project, that's the greatest threat we face, contaminating our air column, destroying the ozone layer, disrupting the hydrological cycle, contaminating the entire surface of the planet. Find out what's going on over your head with very comprehensive materials, again, available at Orchard. There are also now DVDs there called Silent Epidemic on the vaccination issue. I announce that every week. There's also Making a Killing compressed on the same DVD. There's three films on that DVD as well. We only ask, please share this information. Make duplications, share it with others, help us to sound the alarm. On that note, last Saturday, June 10th, the Vaxxed bus, Vaxxed from Cover Up to Catastrophe, the exceptional expose of the vaccine dangers that we are not being told about by any official source. The Vaxxed bus was at Orchard Nutrition. We had a significant number of people there. Exceptionally productive event. The producer for Vaxxed, Polly Tommy, was there. Also, we had Dr. Suzanne Humphreys there, filming people who have vaccine interviews with people who have vaccine-damaged children and for those who have never had vaccinations for their children and have exceptionally strong, healthy children. So this is not to say that all vaccinated children are not healthy, but how do we know what their full potential might have been or would have been had their systems not been overloaded with this contamination that we now know is in vaccinations? We have peer-reviewed study to prove that. I'll get to more on that in a moment. But very productive event at Orchard last weekend. We will post some video of this event on geoengineeringwatch.org in the next week. I had a very productive and informative interview with a truly courageous individual, Brian Hooker, who is part of the core reason we have the confession now from top CDC scientists about the vaccination dangers. So I'll post that interview as soon as we can get it produced. I want to also again announce July 28th, Friday night, July 28th, event at the Red Line Hotel. Three presentations back to back. Evening event, all free event for the public. There will be free materials there. All we ask again, help us. Help us to get the word out while it still matters. If you're sitting the bench while all these cataclysms are unfolding, thinking someone else is moving the ball up the field, that's a mistake. That's a very, very dire mistake. Please join us at the event. Gather materials, reproduce them, share them, help us to sound the alarm. So three back-to-back presentations at that July 28th event on Friday evening. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, look her up. Watch her presentations. This will be a brand new presentation updated by her at this event. Former CIA officer, decorated CIA officer, and CIA whistleblower Kevin Shipp. Also there, also brand new presentation. Kevin will completely take the gloves off at that presentation, I am quite sure. And we'll have a frontline update on the latest facts that are unfolding on the biosphere, on which we all depend, on which our lives depend. I will give that presentation, and then we'll have a Q&A afterward. All this at the Red Lion Hotel. Flyers will be available soon at Orchard Nutrition. We'll do a post at geoengineeringwatch.org soon to give more details, but please mark that event on your calendar. It's free. We're simply trying to sound the alarm while there's anything left to salvage of our planet, our children's health, and our futures as a whole. One last point on the vaccination issue, the incredibly insane vaccination issue. While I'm on this subject, let's ask two questions that any rational person should ask themselves in regard to the vaccination issue. First, we now have peer-reviewed science study proving that vaccinations are harming our kids. So should we not ask ourselves, why are we still mass vaccinating them, forced vaccinations in California? And let's ask this question. For those who still choose to believe the lie that vaccinations are safeguarding their children, let's ask ourselves this. If those people really believe that vaccinations are safeguarding their children, then why would they care if unvaccinated kids are around their kids? If their kids are so protected from vaccinations, why would unvaccinated kids pose any threat to their children? There's no reason in this equation. None. There's no sanity in it. None. Only dark agendas that are getting very close to being fully exposed. And I live for that day with vaccinations, climate engineering, and a long list of other crimes that are committed not just by those in power, but by all those in the system who are willing participants in the insanity because their paychecks, their pensions, and what they perceive as their lives are dependent on towing the line for the insanity. But that's not true. That's not reality. If you are going along with the system in whatever vocation you're in, especially if you're in the medical field, and you're towing the line for the medical industrial complex that's poisoning our children because you feel you can't say anything, that you can't even examine the truth, let alone speak to it, because it could cost you your employment. Take a good long look in the mirror and ask yourself, is that what life's about? Is that why we're here? To procure the best paying job we can, in spite of sacrificing any sense of morality and virtue? That's not what life's about. And all of us need to realize and remember, everything can be taken from us except our honor. That's the only thing that we truly own, any of us. And if you sacrifice that, you have nothing left. Absolutely nothing left. So for all those in the system, whether actively or passively, that are supporting the collective insanity that's engulfing our world, change course. Decide to be a part of the cure and not a part of the cancer. If we all stand together, though we can't erase many challenges that we now face, we can certainly yet change the flavor of the paradigm overturning that is nearly upon us. I would ask this as well. What image do you want to see in the mirror when you take your last breath? What do you want to know your life was about? Being a part of the cure or a part of the disease? On to some elected officials that have shown great courage. Former Premier, Canadian Premier for British Columbia, Bill van der Zalm, is a courageous individual, one of the very few in such a high position. I had the great pleasure and honor of meeting and interviewing Bill van der Zalm just over a week ago. I'll post that interview probably next week. Bill van der Zalm has spoken out publicly and speaks out in this short interview on the reality of climate engineering and his attempt to find out more from the Canadian government about it. I'll post this interview next week again from former Canadian Premier of British Columbia, Bill van der Zalm. A legal update. I hear from people often that wonder why we have not already somehow beaten back the biggest beast on the planet, the U.S. government, with our legal efforts, with a small, very small group of dedicated people that are doing everything they can to build a boat that can weather that storm, that can be watertight enough to bring this issue to light. We know that legally the U.S. government could drag on legal proceedings forever, but if we have enough credible data to get our day in court and not be dismissed, we can get this issue on the radar, and we're working diligently on that. Our attorneys in the U.S., we're not as directly involved with the Canadian issue. We're doing all we can to help them, but there is some issues there in Canada with the legal suit that was filed there that I'll make announcements on once I know exactly the final outcome. Our U.S. effort is pressing on. We're doing everything we can. We've done a great deal of work in this arena. So for those who think that somehow we can magically just make this happen because we know climate engineering is real, we're dealing with the largest, most powerful entity on the planet, the shadow government that runs not just the U.S. government, but others as well. And a power entity that has, for decades, stacked the system in a way that would make it incredibly difficult to wage the legal war that we're trying to wage. So I ask for your patience. We're working diligently on the legal effort, and I will make announcements as soon as I am allowed. Your patience is appreciated. We're doing all we can. I want to make this announcement on the glyphosate issue, which is coming to a head, thankfully, the criminal corporation of Monsanto. This is a comparison I wanted to make because it's so incredibly shocking that one part per trillion of glyphosate can trigger the proliferation of breast cancer. One part per trillion. That's staggering. That's the same as, I believe, the report said 23 Olympic-sized swimming pools. One drop in 23 Olympic-sized swimming pools. Such a tiny concentration can cause this. And how much of it is swimming through our environment right now? Along with the other 144,000 chemicals that have been released into the environment by human activity. The human race does not seem very concerned about its own survival because it's not just the criminal corporations that are causing this problem. It's a population that doesn't want to know and certainly doesn't want to play their part in changing the direction that we are currently heading, a direction that will lead to near-term extinction on our planet. Statistically, it's already unfolding. Time to wake up. Now, on this note as well, on the contamination of our environment, as I stated in the beginning of the show, here's a report, a shocking new report, on aluminum and Alzheimer's disease. Confirms this connection. The report states, no aluminum, no Alzheimer's disease. That's simple. This is from the report. This is perhaps an unexpected conclusion of a new open access paper published in the Journal of Alzheimer's Disease. Putting the headlines in context, what is actually being revealed is this, that brain content of aluminum is a catalyst for Alzheimer's disease. In the absence of pathologically significant deposits of aluminum in brain tissue, there would be no acute Alzheimer's disease within a normal lifespan of perhaps 100 years. Support for this conclusion has been building over the last decade and has now been put on an unequivocally firm footing by recent research demonstrating the exceedingly high content of aluminum in brain tissue in individuals who died with a diagnosis of Alzheimer's or dementia. There you have it. We've known this, those who've looked at the data, for a very long time. We now have a science study to prove this, just like the bees that I've mentioned over and over that are dying of symptoms related to Alzheimer's and dementia because they're packed full of aluminum. How many more red flags do we need before societies, especially first world societies that could do something about what's unfolding, how many red flags do we need before people turn off the football games, put down the six-pack of beer, and do something? And by doing something, I mean to take part in the essential effort to reach a critical mass of awareness and change courses. This effort will involve all of us, absolutely all of us. Every breath we take is laden with the fallout, not just from climate engineering, from many sources, but climate engineering is mathematically by far the largest source of particulate pollution, most especially aluminum, that's raining down through our breathable air column. And our lab tests from all over the globe prove this. It proves what's happening. The dive for the bees prove it. The epidemic of Alzheimer's and dementia prove it. Our children are also breathing this contamination. This is a contributor to autism. Autism is not just a result of the lethal vaccinations, but environmental contaminations. We have study after study to prove this now as well, as I've announced on recent shows, that particulate pollution is contributing to autism as well. We're swimming in a toxic sea, every single one of us. And if you're going about your life as if nothing's wrong, pretending that this will all go away or that somebody somewhere will take care of it, somebody somewhere will move the ball up the field and fix everything, that's not going to happen, because that somebody is you and I and every single one of us. All of us are needed. So consider now, whether you ignore this study or not makes no difference. The aluminum is in fact in the air column, and you're breathing it. All of us are breathing it. We're in a fight for life, literally. We're becoming less cognitively functional every single day. IQs are going down rapidly. I've covered that in recent shows as well. The data keeps coming. It's time to wake up. It's time to wake up. And let's get on to those who pretend to be somehow the elements in our society that so many have so much reverence for, like the medical complex. Physicians are put on such a pedestal, but do they deserve to be on that pedestal? And I'm not saying there's not good physicians or courageous physicians. There are. Of course there are. But how many are contributing to the insanity, which I've outlined so far in this show and so many other shows? Here's another case in point along those lines. Here's the headline. State Attorneys General probe opioid drug companies. From that report, a bipartisan group of state attorneys general announced on Thursday that they are jointly investigating the marketing and sales practices of drug companies that manufacture opioid painkillers at the center of a national addiction epidemic. It is an epidemic, just like autism is an epidemic, just like dementia is an epidemic, just like Alzheimer's is epidemic, just like asthma. All these ailments that are directly related to the factors that I've gone over and over. And with the opioids, more individuals have died in the U.S. than were killed in the entire Vietnam War. And we have physicians prescribing these over and over. Why? Because they're paid to do so. Why do we have physicians that are absolutely, blindly, completely committed to vaccinating all their children, in the case of pediatricians? Why? Because they're paid to do that, paid huge amounts of money. As I've announced on previous shows, in the case of pediatricians, Blue Cross and Blue Shield, they're paid $400 per child patient that they administer the full set of vaccinations to. If they don't administer full sets of vaccinations to at least 63% of their patients, they lose their entire bonus. How big a conflict of interest could we possibly have? Our pediatricians are being paid, in many cases, six figures or more for vaccinating. Who's paying for all that? And what's the motive behind paying that much money to ensure that these very damaging vaccinations are forced upon our children? And where is the outrage in our parents when there's so much data available to prove what these vaccinations are doing to our children? Where is the outrage? How can a parent look at their child and claim to love them and not draw a line in the sand that won't be crossed? What's wrong with our society? And then we have physicians, in the case of the opioids, again, passing them out. And where are those drugs coming from? Does anybody wonder or connect the dots that when the U.S. goes into Afghanistan and takes over, suddenly opium production goes through the roof? Are these dots that hard to connect? We have Iran-Contra, the CIA, selling drugs to buy weapons, to fund terrorists. I could go on and on and on. The history's there in so many angles and directions that a blind man could see it. This is not hard to figure out. And again, it's not just those at the top that are part of the problem. It's everybody in the system that's willingly participating in this system of total insanity, and omnicide, and that's what it is. Let's get on to another story now. The 24-story London building, totally ablaze for hours, completely gutted by fire. Why didn't that building collapse? Does anybody wonder? Does anybody even bother to ask that question? How come Building 7 at the World Trade Center collapsed with only one or two stories burning, with just some furniture burning? Why did that building collapse in 7 seconds, free fall speed? The building in London didn't collapse. In fact, a high-rise in Spain burnt for some, I think, 48 hours. Completely burnt down to a steel frame. It didn't collapse. In fact, no high-rise building in the history of high-rise buildings has ever collapsed from fire, ever, except on 9/11. And on that day, three high-rise buildings that were built to sustain aircraft impacts, in the case of the Twin Towers, from aircrafts that were much larger and heavier, with more foot-pounds of energy and impact than the aircraft that hit them. They were built to take multiple 707 impacts, fully loaded with fuel. Why did they collapse down to a pile of rubble from fires burning in them? Three buildings collapsed completely to the ground, one that never got hit by anything, Building 7, on the same day, and never before or since has any high-rise building ever collapsed from fire. Think about that. Now, I want to change gears and go to the wider picture. And I'll get to the story about the military school in the U.S. that's training and exporting terrorists and has been for decades, because that story matters in many contexts, obviously. But while we have the U.S. propaganda machine trying to condition the American population into believing yet more preposterous lies that Russia has somehow interfered with our democracy by publicizing some of Hillary Clinton's crimes, what's our country been doing for decades? And I'll get to a very shocking report on that that anybody can research. I never ask anyone to believe me. I simply ask you to verify what I'm saying. And I'll get to that report in a few minutes. But I always, always drive this point home. No matter what else is happening, no matter what catastrophes in various parts of the world are unfolding, like the high-rise building that just burnt in London, what's the wider picture like? What's the biosphere doing? The biosphere on which our lives completely depend. And it's interesting that no matter how far the biosphere implosion progresses, there's always those who are willing to completely and aggressively deny that. And whatever their motive, I can't say. But the denial is truly epidemic on the severity of our imploding biosphere. Here's some headlines. Mainland Miami ponders returning neighborhoods to nature in order to survive rising seas. It's not happening in the future. It's happening right now. Miami has spent already $500 million, $500 million with a B, trying to pump out some neighborhoods to save them from the rising seas. What an incredibly futile effort that is. Incredibly futile. And yet, we see the arrogance of the human race, thinking they can somehow win a battle against nature. And we would all be wise to remember that our battle against nature is absolutely a battle against ourselves. And that's not seen yet. It will be. But so many are completely blind to that equation, thinking that the God of technology will save us. Not going to happen. And what's technology done for us so far? In the geologic blink of an eye, and I'm not saying there's no benefit in technology if it's used properly, if it's a technology that can be used properly. But overall, what's technology done for us so far? It has pushed us in the geologic blink of an eye to near certain global extinction in the very near term as well. Rising seas in Miami, another headline, follows up on the collapsing biosphere. This is new. Another week of mass die-offs, second week of June sees many tons of dead fish washing up along shores with dead cattle and birds around the world. That's the headline. Again, I would challenge people to search 2017 mass species die-off or 2017 die-off. And there's a site that compiles a list, an ongoing list of what's happening around the world. And it is staggering. It has to be looked at and examined to be believed. But the die-off is immense. and accelerating. Anyone who believes that the current course can continue much longer without a complete overturning of our paradigm needs to wake up and look at reality. Here's another headline. Thousands of dead fish wash up in Texas. From that report, thousands of dead and dying fish washed ashore on Matagorda River Channel, Texas, leading to the Gulf of Mexico. Kyle Nigel, who filmed it, said there was miles of dead fish washing up and drying along the shorelines with bigger game fish as well. These are anoxic and hypoxic zones forming in oceans all over the globe. Oceans are converting to what's termed Canfield Ocean, a stratified, superheated, oxygenless, lifeless ocean. The oceans die, we die. It's that simple. And if you think the oceans are doing fine, and I've spoken to individuals before that say things like, my family member was just at the ocean, they said it looked fine. What does that mean? Because you saw a bunch of water out there, that means it looked fine? These kinds of statements of denial are completely absurd from people who don't have a clue about what's going on in the world. Don't be one of the clueless. If you're standing in the middle of the freeway, as I've said before, are you better off facing traffic or turning your back to it? Don't be one of the willfully blind that turns their back to traffic and thus is a part of the problem. Face reality. That's the sign of a healthy mind. A mind that shows an unyielding propensity to face reality at all costs. That is a healthy mind. More headlines. Extreme heat over Siberia. 100 plus degree readings widespread across Siberia. In Siberia. And it's not even summer. 100 plus degree readings. So if you're just in Boston and experiencing the weather whiplash, record cold to record warm, or California, same thing. Last Saturday, I stated that it was 50 degrees, I think, on the 7th or 8th or 9th in Northern California. I think there was a number of record cold set. And now we're skyrocketing in the next few days. I believe by Monday or Tuesday, we're going to be at 110 degrees and staying there for some time. Record heat throughout the West. The weather whiplash will worsen rapidly because the climate is disintegrating for many reasons. Climate engineering, though, at the top of the list, but I state over and over, by no means the only thing destroying the climate. And for those who, I still hear it all the time from people who claim to be fighting climate engineering and thus ignore every other form of human damage to the planet. Deny, not just ignore it, but deny it. And how does that help our credibility? To pretend that cutting down the forests doesn't matter, to pretend that paving the planet doesn't matter, to pretend that poisoning the oceans doesn't matter, and to pretend that putting 100 million tons of CO2 in the atmosphere every day doesn't matter. Obviously, it does matter, and to deny that is to lose credibility. I will remain in the fight against climate engineering because that's the single greatest threat we face. It's contaminating every breath we take, as I've outlined in this show. But we have to look at all of reality, or we are trying to float in a boat that doesn't float, that's full of holes. The human race has been unimaginably poor stewards of our planet, and anyone who denies that is not living in reality. Let's move on to other headlines, just as dire. Enormous underwater methane domes are warning signs of imminent explosion. I've spoken about this in the past, the PANGOs. That's the scientific term given to the explosions of methane that are happening in the tundra area right now. If you haven't seen pictures of this, please look it up. Search Siberian methane explosions, PANGOs, spelled just like it sounds. You'll see photographs that are shocking. It looks like a crater from a massive explosion from underneath the surface, and that's exactly what it is. Thawing methane deposits in the tundra are exploding into the air column. Methane, as it enters the air column, methane's lighter than air, it rises into the atmosphere. As it enters the air column, over a several month period, methane can be as much as 1,000 times more potent a greenhouse gas compared to CO2. Over a 10-year time horizon, methane is still 100 to 120 times more potent a greenhouse gas. The methane expulsions alone could seal our fate very, very soon. Let me put this in mathematical context from a different direction. It's felt that there's perhaps 10,000 gigatons of methane in the Laptev Sea. If one half, and this is on the seafloor, by the way, If one half of 1% of that methane releases, one half of 1%, 50 gigatons, and it may have already released, that would be a 400% escalation of the current greenhouse gas forcing. 400% increase if only one half of 1% of what's felt is on the East Laptev Sea releases. There's enough methane, as I've stated over and over, to turn our planet into Venus, and we have people denying this right now across the board. So many people either denying that there's anything wrong with the climate at all, or claiming the only thing wrong with the climate is climate engineering. If we stop that, everything will magically go back to the way it was, a life, a thriving Earth. That's not reality. Damage done to our planet cannot be undone. So many forms of damage cannot be undone in any time frame that matters, but we could yet still salvage some of Earth's life support systems if we could disconnect our military-industrial complex from destroying the rest of our world, and if we could get a population that was more interested in providing a future for our children as opposed to acquiring the next material possession. If we could have a population that was willing to give up its personal pursuit of pleasure in order to help provide a future for their children, shouldn't that be our first priority, to preserve Earth's life support systems? But so long as the military-industrial complex runs our planet and carries out the orders of the criminal central bankers that are really the core of all that's happening on our planet right now, unless this paradigm is overturned, we will soon get to where we're headed, and that is total global extinction. More headlines. Syrians accuse U.S.-led forces of bombing Raqqa with white phosphorus. Again and again and again, we see our own country using weapons that are banned and that other countries have given up, but we use them. Same with landmines. I think there's three or four countries that have not signed the ban on landmines. Guess who's one of them? The U.S. and North Korea. Not sure who the other two are. But we don't see this or hear this while we're waving our flags and pretending that we're good and they're bad. What's reality? Not blind program nationalism. What's reality? Until we can acknowledge the log in our own eyes as a country, how can we possibly criticize other countries for what they are doing? Not that they don't deserve criticism, but when we're in so many cases somehow connected to what other countries do, then must we not take care of our own house first? From this report on white phosphorus, Syrian opposition groups and ISIS say that the U.S.-led coalition is attacking civilians with white phosphorus, which can burn skin down to the bone. Previously, the U.S. used white phosphorus as an incendiary weapon during the battle to reclaim the Iraqi city of Fallujah. Business as usual, using banned weapons on civilians. Why is our military doing this? Why are our military brothers and sisters going along with this? Why did they go along with the torture that happened in Abu Ghraib? Why have they gone along with the use of depleted uranium weapons, not just on innocent civilians in other countries like Iraq and elsewhere, but also using depleted uranium as practice off the North American West Coast, which is certainly a contributing factor to the mass marine die-off, marine organism die-off that's happening around the globe? Why are our military brothers and sisters just going along as blind order followers? The mold of blind obedience to a criminal power structure must be broken down. In the military and in society, this mold must be disintegrated if we're to have any chance of surviving. More stories. I would ask this in regard to ISIS. Why is the U.S. arming and supporting Saudi Arabia, who in turn is supporting ISIS? Where's the outrage in our society? Or are we simply stuck in a Truman Show reality that reeks of power structure programmed false nationalism and mind-numbing hypocrisy over and over and over? That's what we see. I spoke a number of months ago about the mathematical potential of up to 20 million people or more to starve to death in the following 6 months from when I made this report. Here's a new headline to back that up. 20 million starving to death inside the worst famine since World War II. This is a report from South Sudan. There are two things you need to understand about the famine decimating South Sudan, the world's newest country, and one that came into existence largely because of enormous intervention from the U.S. The U.S. and our media and our so-called political leaders are trying to demonize Russia for exposing Hillary Clinton's crimes when our country has, to a degree that can scarcely be comprehended, not just intervened in some sort of covert way in other countries, but literally toppled them and installed puppet dictatorships over and over. And bad things always come from that. Now let's add climate engineering, which is a factor in the drought, which is fueling the famine in South Sudan. From so many directions, our country, the NATO powers, are engaged in what can only be considered genocide in other countries. So we have 20 million starving to death now, as this headline states. And the report continues. First, South Sudan isn't the only country in the region facing mass starvation. A potentially historic famine is also threatening Nigeria, Somalia, Yemen, and far from Western eyes. And far from the headlines, an estimated 20 million people in those four countries are at risk of dying in the near term due to lack of food. We can never unravel the sort of complex web that's a part of what's unfolding now in the world. There's too many factors to sort out. But what we can say with absolute certainty is that we have power structures around the globe, and the largest one of all, centered in the U.S., and perhaps controlled from to some degree from other parts of other continents. We can speculate that's a whole other subject. But we have power structures that have been for many, many decades directly involved with murder and mayhem all over the globe. All over the globe. I want to finish this report on the starving masses, 20 million, and understand this. This number is just the beginning. If you think this is a bump in the road, that somehow it will magically work out with some sort of contribution from some sort of global relief agency that's as corrupt as the governments they claim to be helping. Think again. This is just the beginning. From this report, again, how many are starving in other parts of the world? In Yemen, there are 7 million people facing starvation. This is another 7 million. And that is perhaps the clearest illustration of how war is directly causing famine. And who's behind that war? Saudi Arabia, bombing one of the poorest countries in the world with weapons obtained from the United States and the UK. That's who we're helping. The terrorists. Saudi Arabia is a terrorist nation. Who supports ISIS with some of those same weapons? And who is bombing Yemen, in which another 7 million people may soon die? We don't hear about that in our country while they're giving us the endless parade of theater and drama that's designed and unfortunately all too effective at the left-right paradigm, mass distraction, as if we really just have these two tribes in our country that are constantly fighting with each other and ignoring the bigger picture. The whole left-right paradigm is an illusion. Stop being a part of it. Those in power have divided and conquered for how many decades? How long will we allow them to do this? I want to finish this report about the mass starvation. With U.S. assistance, Saudi war paintings have destroyed bridges. This is regarding to Yemen and the 7 million about to die there. With U.S. assistance, Saudi war planes have destroyed bridges, roads, factories, farms, food trucks, animals, water, infrastructure, and agricultural banks across the north. That's food banks. While imposing a blockade on the territory for a country heavily dependent on foreign food aid, that means starving the people. We're directly involved with that. Our country is fueling this genocide in Yemen. How many Americans even know where Yemen is on a map, let alone that there's now 7 million people starving there, and our country is a part of that? Not a part of helping them, but a part of making this calamity unfold. I want to repeat a quote from John Stockholm, former CIA member. And I've stated this before, but I want to repeat it. It is the function of the CIA to keep the world unstable and to propagandize and teach the American people to hate, so we will let the establishment spend any amount of money on arms. Again, from a former CIA individual. I want to get to a story that epitomizes what the military-industrial complex is really about. What I stated I would cover in the beginning of this broadcast. The military training facility in the U.S. that is exporting terrorism. So with the constant U.S. media propaganda campaign against Russia for supposed interference with our so-called democracy in the U.S., interfering by exposing some of Hillary Clinton's crimes, as if we don't have a right to know that in the first place. Let's get to the core of the matter. Who's the primary global instigator of terrorism and toppling nations? This is not to say that ISIS are not terrorists, that there's not religious fanaticism. Of course there is. Don't think dichotomously, because I criticize, very rightfully so, what our country, what our military-industrial complex is involved with. Because I criticize that, that is in no way condoning other countries or the actions of other countries. A long list of criminal actions. But what are we doing? And what is the American public completely oblivious to? Let's start with this report. Consider the following. This is an exceptional expose by author Ramona Wadi. The headline is this: The School of the Americas is still exporting death squads. Established in 1946 in Panama, and this is immediately after World War II, geoengineering was deployed. The School of the Americas was established to train terrorists to seed out to other countries. Does anyone think that our military-industrial complex had any intention of slowing down after the war? No chance. Eisenhower warned us. Did he not? He did. This is more facts that the American population is completely oblivious to. So established in 1946 in Panama, the School of the Americas was responsible for training over 64,000 South American soldiers, many of whom later became notorious torturers and murderers in death squads. According to former Panamanian President Jorge Ilucia, the School of the Americas was, quote, the biggest base for destabilization in Latin America. And by the way, in the death squads in Central America, for anyone who knows who John Bolton is, the cartoon character-looking individual with the huge white mustache that's a commentator on Fox News, look him up. Ran death squads in Central America. Why is he not in jail? He ran graduates from the School of the Americas in death squads. Report continues. Expelled from Panama in 1984, the School of the Americas relocated to Fort Benning, Georgia in the U.S. and was renamed WINSEC. That's an acronym. WINSEC stands for Western Hemisphere Institute for Security Cooperation. Sounds very benign, doesn't it? As opposed to School of Training Terrorism. And that's what it is. Report continues. Established WINSEC in 2001, allowing for an apparent termination of the previous program through dislocation. In reality, however, WINSEC, the School of the Americas, retained its SOA, School of the Americas Foundation, and in the U.S., the Department of Defense has shielded the Institute from criticism and outcry with regard to the school's historical link to human rights violations. The report continues. In its mission statement, WINSEC claims to have been founded upon the character of organization of American states and pledges to, quote, foster mutual knowledge and transparency, confidence and cooperation among participating nations, and to promote democratic values, respect for human rights, and knowledge and understanding of U.S. customs and traditions. What an absolute, completely hypocritical lie that mission statement is. Could not be further from the truth. Let's continue with the report. These values, according to WINSEC's website, are imparted through a three-lesson ethics program as well as the Democracy and Human Rights Program, the latter dealing with, quote, the universal prohibitions against torture, extrajudicial executions, and forced disappearances. Remember those terms. Report continues, a far cry from protecting human rights, subtitle, CIA and U.S. Army manuals detailing torture techniques translated into Spanish and utilized by the School of the Americas are a far cry from anything containing human rights protections. Indeed, the School of the Americas Watch explains, quote, these manuals advocated torture, extortion, blackmail, and the targeting of civilian populations. That's what the School of Americas was and is about. Destabilizing other nations with trained terrorists trained in the USA at the School of the Americas. Continuing, the manuals written in the 1950s and 60s were distributed for use in countries such as El Salvador, Guatemala, Ecuador, Peru, and the School of the Americas between 87 and 91. In-depth research and testimony from torture survivors relay more than just a depiction of torture practiced by School of the Americas graduates in South America during the dictatorship eras, such as Chile under Pinochet, sadistic torture practiced upon detainees at Abu Ghraib is also reflective of the CIA torture manuals and torture previously carried out on detainees in South America. Since 2000 and the renaming of the School of the Americas, other crimes linked to the School of the Americas graduates have come to light. Colonel Byron Lima Estrada was convicted in June, this is a School of the Americas graduate, of murdering Guatemalan Bishop Juan Jose Girardi, following the publication of a report insisting the Guatemalan army was responsible for the murder of almost 200,000 people in civil war that took place from 1960 to 1996. School of the Americas trainees involved in that kind of atrocity, almost 200,000 people murdered in Chile. Continuing, two other School of the Americas graduates, Venezuelan Army Commander-in-Chief Efrain Vasquez and General Ramirez Poveda, were involved in the failed 2002 coup against President Hugo Chavez. This is an armed coup. When our country complains, or our media tries to galvanize our population into believing their demonization of Russia for exposing some of Hillary Clinton's crimes while we're doing this, how deep, how immense can the hypocrisy possibly be? While we're seeding, training and seeding terrorists to destabilize other nations and attempt to install puppet governments, do we remember when Hugo Chavez accused the U.S. of being a part of that? How many other dictators from Haiti, Panama, how many other countries can we name that the U.S. has been directly involved with not just some covert exposing of emails, but actually seeding terrorists who are killing, torturing, murdering, and disappearing people? How can we possibly criticize any other nation while our nation is engaged in this? And please, don't believe anything I say. Please don't. If you're a blind, flag-waving, programmed patriot that's convincing yourself of a false patriotism because blindly towing the line for the power structure is not patriotism, please investigate what I'm saying. I challenge you. Find some courage. Investigate what I'm telling you about the School of the Americas and what its purpose is to destabilize nations for, quote, U.S. interests, to destabilize them in order for the U.S. to install its puppet governments. Continuing, in 1999, Bolivian Captain Filmon Rodriguez had been found responsible for the kidnapping and torture of Waldo Albarracin, director of the Bolivian Popular Assembly of Human Rights. In 2002, Rodriguez was accepted for a 49-week officer training course at the School of the Americas, in spite of this, in spite of what he had done. In May 2014, a detailed report by the Fellowship of Reconciliation and Columbia Europe U.S. Human Rights Observatory highlighted U.S. military assistance to Colombia between 2000 and 2010. According to the report, which studies extrajudicial killings committed by the Colombian Army Brigades, U.S. intelligence assistance to Colombia, quote, supported units that had adopted a strategy conducive to extrajudicial killings. I want to repeat that. U.S. intelligence assistance to Colombia, quote, supported units that had adopted a strategy conducive to extrajudicial killings. Continuing with the report, Colombia requires its officers to undergo training at the School of the Americas. The 2014 report states that out of 25 Colombian graduates from 2001 to 2003, 12 had either been charged with serious crimes or commanded units whose members had reportedly committed multiple extrajudicial killings. It should be remembered that Plan Colombia, signed by U.S. President Bill Clinton, was translated into, quote, moral and political support by Colombian General Mario Montoya. Between 2000 and 2010, U.S. assistance was considered a factor which influenced the staggering total of 5,673 extrajudicial killings, all of which occurred with total impunity. Lack of judicial mechanisms and rewards for the murderers and the role of national leaders such as Montoya, providing a safety net for those complicit in these atrocities. Why does our country again and again and again. Support this sort of murder and mayhem abroad, no different than what Saudi Arabia is currently doing to Yemen, no different than what Saddam Hussein did to innocent civilians with weapons that we supplied him with. Anybody ever look up, or how many have not looked up, the photograph of Don Rumsfeld shaking Saddam Hussein's hand? And when Saddam Hussein was no longer a useful puppet dictator, when he decided to stop trading in the petrodollar, to not use U.S. dollars for selling oil, he had to be taken out. Same with Gaddafi. That's what this is all about. It's not about freedom and democracy. It's about quote-unquote U.S. interests. And by U.S. interests, what does that mean? It means the interests of the global elite. That's what it means. That hide behind the shadow of the U.S. government. The completely manipulated, criminally controlled U.S. government. That's simply part of the global power structure at this point. To highlight the sort of attitude that summarizes those that are a part of the School of Americas, one of the School of Americas board members said this: if a student of mine leaves an ethics class and engages in criminal or murderous activity, does that make me or my university liable for their activity? They don't care, and they feel they are not responsible for training terrorists and sending them out to do what they do. Is it not the same in the whole military-industrial complex when we are training people like Osama bin Laden? Does anybody remember that he was once a tool for the CIA? Does anybody even remember that or recall that? Same as the other dictators I've already mentioned. Americans, largely so far, have wanted to avoid the facts, have wanted to avoid reality. If we don't face this head on, that our own country is training, fueling, and funding terrorists to be scattered around the globe to create murder and mayhem in order to keep the military-industrial complex machine moving. It's not about freedom. It's not about democracy. It's about the military-industrial complex and those who run it and those who fund it, the central bankers. Americans need to wake up to reality and to do their part to change the current course. Time is absolutely not on our side. We have converging cataclysms closing in from every direction. This is an absolute fact. We're all swimming in a sea of programmed ideology and moral depravity. And so many, whether actively or passively, fully support the current trend of willful blindness and denial. This is true in regard to the actions of the medical industrial complex, as I've outlined in the beginning of this show, this broadcast, and other broadcasts. This is true in regard to the military-industrial complex, both of whom are joined at the hip. How many of our military brothers and sisters have been vaccinated with who knows what and for what ultimate purpose? From fluoride poured into our water systems, and how many have seen the men in hazmat suits pouring bags of material that has biohazard stamps on it? These photos are available. This is going in our drinking water. All of these means and methods by which a population can be kept unhealthy, incoherent, and controllable. And by these means and methods, that can also have profound effects on our military brothers and sisters who are nothing more than cannon fodder for those in power. And when will they realize this? It's not about freedom and democracy. The photographs I've mentioned before of military personnel staring at nuclear explosions while they go off, or being exposed to depleted uranium, Agent Orange, how much do we need to know? We are not only expendable to those in power, but we are an increasing liability. This is especially true when it comes to the American population. Those in power know if the American population wakes up in time, this paradigm will shift in a way that they absolutely will do everything they can to keep from happening. I want to end with this. The road the human race is currently on can only end with near-term planetary omnicide. This is a mathematical certainty. Is this how we want the story to end? Those who are awake and aware must fully resolve themselves to the all-important battle of sounding the alarm, the all-important battle of waking the sleeping masses. Arm yourself with credible data and share that information with any and all that you can. Tomorrow is too late. Make your voice heard while it still matters. Until next week, this is Dane Wigington with GeoengineeringWatch.org.